Thank you, Prem. Thank you, Sai Prakash. And dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinilayam, the most happening place on the planet, as I always say. And the week just gone by has been one of the liveliest weeks of the Prashanti calendar in the last 12 months. What a great start to this new year 2014. As we celebrated Pongal, the Makara Sankranti, on January 14th, marking the beginning of a new direction in our lives. As Baba always said, Sankranti is the celebration of the change of the movement of the sun towards the northern direction. So what does that mean to us? What is the Kranti? What is the change? It means making that paradigm shift in our lives, in our consciousness, and taking that determined step towards God consciousness, towards experiencing not temporary or ephemeral joy, but permanent peace, lasting happiness. And we had such a beautiful demonstration of this complete focus on the Lord in the last 7 days in Prashantinilayam, how everyone in the educational institutions was so one-pointedly thinking only about the Lord and what to do to please the Lord and how to bend our body, mend our senses, and end the mind so that my Sai is happy. And so you saw spectacular events which were indeed risky, which needed courage, stamina and tremendous self-confidence, and of course hours of hard work doing everything, as I said, only to please the Lord. The inaugural ceremony of the annual sports and cultural meet was a scintillating show of energy, color, creativity, agility, forbearance and fearlessness. It's really difficult to describe the variety and beauty of scores of events that were done by students of all educational institutions. I mean, this is one event when all the students of all the educational institutions, be it the primary school, the higher secondary school, all the campuses of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, the Ishwaramma School, even the students of the nursing college from the Whitefield Hospital, every single student participate, and the stadium becomes an arena of amazing display of devotion. Display of devotion expressed in the form of daring sports and dazzling performances. Well, all I can do, dear listeners, is request you to watch these videos on our website, radiosai.org. We also have a dedicated photo gallery, so do watch these and enjoy these feasts, because this is something you will not find anywhere else. This band of students are different. What they do is different. How they do is different. And why they do is different. And the inaugural session on January 11th of the sports and cultural meet was actually just the beginning. From then on, there have been a series of programs which continued till this evening. Yes. After the thrilling demonstration of sports on January 11th, from January 12th onwards, we had a display of cultural talent. So the students of Sri Sathya Sai Higher Secondary School presented a moving drama on January 12th evening. It was entitled Prem Ki Pukar. The theme was Loving God is Not Enough. They communicated that just loving God is not enough. One has to do God's work. And they weaved a lovely storyline around this idea and packed it with powerful songs and dialogues, and it really came out so well. In fact, on our website, we've given all these songs for download just so that you can enjoy these beautiful, inspiring pieces of musical creativity. Let me just play one of them from you, because all of the songs are so fantastic. This one was a very vibrant one, and I thought it would be nice to begin this outside, inside, deep inside session today with this vibrant note.
Yeah.
Wasn't that a really power-packed song? Well, that's how the drama Prem Ki Pukar on January 12th began. So, it was really a fantastic performance. You can see the dance on our website, radioside.org. So, that happened on January 12th, and from January 13th onwards, there were more programs. You had this lovely drama on St. Tyagaraja by the students of the Vrindavan campus. In fact, today too, you had Tyagaraja Aradhana program, and this was done by the students of the Mirpuri College of Music. As many would know, Tyagaraja Aradhana is an annual music festival in honor of this legendary saint, singer, composer, poet, and above all, a devotee par excellence, Saint Tyagaraja, and whose compositions, when the same Lord Rama came down as Sai Rama, loved it so much, loved his song so much. You could capture Bhagwan's heart by singing Tyagaraja Kritis. Generally, this Tyagaraja Aradhana, in commemoration of this great soul, this great singer, the great musician, one of the pillars of Carnatic music. Generally, this Aradhana Mahotsavam is held in Jan, Feb, around this time. And generally, it is a one-week festival in the birthplace of Saint Tyagaraja. And it is held all over the world. And why not in Parthi? And definitely once the music hall has started, we have been having this Tyagaraja Aradhana Mahotsavam in the Divine Presence. And so you had the tradition continuing, and today there was a beautiful rendering of Tyagaraja Kritis this evening. So on January 13th you had this drama by Saint Tyagaraja, and then on 14th of January you had this lovely puppet show by the students of the Anandpur campus. All these puppets were done by them. They themselves became the puppets, and it was a superlative performance, super innovation and creativity on display. It was amazing. And then yesterday, on Jan 15th, you had this drama by the Prashant Nilayam students, Jaya, the Victory Within. And they had scenes from the Mahabharata and brought home this point about where we should contemplate on what is the true victory in our lives. Turning to the self. Turning inward to look for all answers for everything happening around us. It is a very, very, a drama which had very deep meanings conveyed through episodes of Mahabharata. And Bhagavan always said that this Ramayana and Mahabharata, they are epics with deep significance, and we have to look at it from the spiritual angle. And this is what this drama tried to do on January 15th. It is by the postgraduate students. So that's how this whole entire week from Jan 11th to Jan 15th, 16th, it has been literally packed. And this is going to continue, because another 2 days from now, you're going to have presentation by the staff of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences, Whitefield, because January 19th is the 13th anniversary of Bhagwan's hospital in Bangalore. 13 years of healing with love. What a journey it has been for them. And to commemorate this day, they are going to put up a program on January 19th, but in celebration of that, and to reflect on this tremendous work that has been going on in this mansion of healing, in this home of divine miracles, medical miracles of love, I thought it would be nice to reflect on what is going on in these institutions. And that is why tonight, on Outside Inside, Deep Inside, you're going to listen to Dr. Voleti Chaudhary, a small conversation with Dr. Voleti, who is the chairman of cardiac sciences of both these hospitals and the director of the hospital in Parthi, but he spent many years actually doing surgeries in Whitefield, and he very often visits Whitefield. So we're going to listen to him talk about Bhagwan's medical mission and his reflections on the hospital crossing this milestone. And after that, you're going to listen to the first part of one conversation with Mr. Satish Chandra. Now, Satish Chandra is someone very special, because he's someone who just a couple of weeks ago went to Kerala on a bicycle. He rode 450 kilometers on a bicycle and went where? He went to the houses of patients over 10 days. We're going to listen to what he has experienced. How was his journey? What moved him? And what awakened in him as he undertook this endeavor? Thank you so much, dear listeners, for being with us on this Thursday Live. You continue to listen to our live programs from the studios of Radio Sai.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
So welcome to Outside Inside, Deep Inside. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu. The time in the studios now is 8:58, almost inching towards 9 o'clock. And as I mentioned to you, you're going to listen to now to Dr. Valiti, a small conversation with him. But even as we start this, I just thought, let me share with you this very good news about what happened just this morning. This morning around 8:30, in the ashram, a new facility was inaugurated by some of the senior members of the trust. It is a care center for the senior residents of the ashram, all those inmates of the ashram who have contributed many, many years serving in Bhagwan's institutions and now who need more attention and more love and more care in the evening of their lives. There is now a home for them with special facilities, with dedicated people to look after them, and a roller and a roster of doctors who will attend to their needs. A very beautiful beginning has been made this morning. A very happy news for all the ashram inmates. So many people were wishing for this for many years, and finally by Bhagwan's grace this has happened. So a lot of positive news on the healthcare front. So on that note, let's move on. And as I told you, let's listen now to Dr. Valiti. I just had this conversation with him just maybe 4 or 5 days ago. His reflections on the hospital in Bangalore celebrating its 13th anniversary.
Sir, I'm Dr. Valiti. The super speciality hospital in Bangalore celebrates its 13th anniversary this year. And for several years, you have had the chance to work in that hospital, even though now you are the director of its sister institution in Puttaparthi. But you still are the chairman of cardiac sciences of both the hospitals. At the same time, you are someone who has been very blessed to have innumerable interactions with Bhagwan. So may I ask you, after having worked for so many years in both the hospitals, as well as having had the chance to interact with Bhagwan for more than a decade, what, according to you, is Bhagwan's vision in setting up these institutions? And then, to what extent do you think these institutions have lived up to what Bhagwan wished and desired?
I know Bhagwan's wish has always been for the outreach of this, really the poorest of the poor. Like he said, always education and healthcare must be free to the entire humanity. But I also know very well, Swami didn't want these hospitals to cure the whole world. It's not physically possible. And Swami wanted to set an example for all the people that Swami is a one-man show. And in that way, he is 150% successful, because whatever his aim was, which is to treat these patients, which otherwise would not get this treatment. Every day, I'm not joking, I am working here now, I have retired twice and I'm still working here. And my problem is when I am here, I miss Whitefield, when I'm Whitefield, I miss here. It's really, you know, this Bhagwan's Leela, that's how I look at it. Because I'm so close to both the hospitals, his wishes have been really fulfilled, really fulfilled. It's a patient-centric system, that's how he wanted it, that's how it is. And I can give you only one example, which will give you an idea. Take the IT departments. See, the aim of our IT departments is to give a 360 view of the patient to the physician. So the physician's approach to the patient is fully informed. So this doesn't happen outside. And this is all free. Like we're telling, every one of this is free. So when the orthopedic doctors make rounds, they don't need anything. All they need is what we call so-called cow, computer on wheels. It has everything in their fingertips. And then when you go to, in a white field, for example, you see the cardiac surgery department, it has a vault. And I always tell people, Swami just didn't start a hospital. He could have named it Sathya Sai Hospital. He did it, Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences. So it's implicit in it that we not only treat people, but we teach also. So you can see how every department has a DNB program here and in Whitefield, except neurology, which we're praying to Swami that we'll get a neurology DNB. And we have gold medalists in almost all the departments as they are coming out of this. And anesthesia last year, we had three people appear, all three passed. We also started cardiac surgery, anesthesia fellowship. So teaching and treating, this is one thing that isn't emphasized outside. And so yes, patient care is very important. We do that. But when you look at a teaching hospital, which is us, and when you look at a regular hospital, the treatment standard is much higher. That's how Swami's vision has always been a higher in a medical center. And then when you talk about this, Swami's vision was also there for research. Purely, again, not lab alone, patient-related research. What we, this it is called a transitional research. That's how Bhagavan's vision was also there. So, I look at my problem again is, when I'm here, I miss that hospital. When I'm there, I miss this hospital. And he has given us enough to follow. For example, cardiology department there has the biplane cath lab that they share with the neurologists and neurosurgeons, and they do this work. And that's something, do you give every day in every hospital? No. That's again cutting-edge technology. Like we have our MRI here, which is a 1.5 Tesla and 32 channel, and they tell me, I'm sure it is right, this is the first one in South India. And it's free. It's free. So, yes, we're really living up to... No, however hard I work during the day, however feel I have, you know, empty number of problems, at the end of the day when I walk around and see these patients smiling and going around, people, and I get an idea, these people don't have no place to go. They basically have no place to go. Then Swami has built this citadel here and a citadel there. My only thing I always say, I said again, as a humanity, I think we have failed to a certain extent, Swami, because all the people who are, there are so many rich people in this country. There's more rich people in this country, but just by volume alone, than even Japan, live alone. It's a good... None of them are really putting forward. We will see. They have this CSR now, corporate social responsibility. If it would take the slack and take the Bhagavan's message, that's what I pray to Swami. Please let these people get a little bit of your message, Swami, and what you have done. If they could do it, their humanity will be in the right path for healthcare and education.
As you very rightly said, it's time the other institutions take notice, because Bhagavan has always mentioned that he created these institutions as models. Definitely they are not meant to eradicate all the ills of the world, but they should serve as models.
Yes.
And they are doing that, they are serving as models. But are people noticing, are people taking lessons? What is your feel now? The Bangalore hospital is actually in the IT capital of the country. And it is in actually the next to the IT tech park there. It is an area where it's surrounded by so many IT companies and really very, very technology-driven outfits there. But do you see people taking notice of what is going on here and taking lessons and trying to see if they can take this message forward?
Unfortunately, no. No, it's not there. You know, you wish that is true. And I wish also that is true, that at least a few of them know what is going on there. And you know, the other thing is, it's a paradox. This country is a paradox, because you have a 5-star hotel and very next to it is a slum. The slum people don't seem to recognize the 5-star hotel. The 5-star hotel doesn't seem to recognize or totally ignore what's going on outside. I don't know which way to compare it, but that's the only thing I can think of. All around the hospital, which is totally free, you have a 5-star hotel. At least three of them within 5 minutes reach. And how does that come into picture is very difficult to tell. And again, nobody is taking recognition. I'll tell you why. That's one reason why we are pushing forward in both the hospitals to get what's called accreditation, NABH. We don't need it. As a charity hospital, we do not need to have an NABH. But both the directors have proposed, and fortunately we have a very understanding trust. They agreed, yes, go ahead. Because that's the benchmark. You know, general philosophy is something is free, they're not sure how good it is going to be. Why would they give away it free? Because only people who know Swami will know. Swami always travels in a first class. Whatever he gives is has to be the best. But they don't know. So we're going to get an NABH, both in this hospital and in that hospital. And again, I think it must be Swami's vision, because I have spent enough time in Parthi and enough time in Whitefield, and our Dr. Bharadwaj also spent enough time here and enough time there. We don't even have to talk to each other. We know what is going on in both the health places. And that's the other thing. We are really working hard to put both hospitals on the in the same page. So that way we can work better. To answer your question, no. Simple example is, you interviewed yourself. Many people have come as visitors for our very successful International Cardiac Vascular Surgery Conference. You saw, so totally ignorant about what goes on. And when we are presenting the information, they're coming out and talking to you, oh my goodness, we wish we have known something like this goes on. It's all in their backyard. So I think we have to make efforts to bring ourselves up, and then we are in par with almost any reputable situation or institute in this country.
In fact, many of them, when I was talking to them, you know, they almost felt that such a thing is not possible on earth. And I told them, this is not as if it is happening in Mars, it is just happening. They were in Puttaparthi, it's like just 100 miles from Bangalore.
Yes.
It is very much possible, but somehow. But I think, as you also mentioned, there is a need for more visibility, so that Bhagwan's philosophy of healthcare percolates into more institutions and more people are sensitive enough to take this forward. But as you are mentioning, this hospital has both the patient care as well as the academics. And now, in the Whitefield Hospital, now that we are celebrating the Whitefield Hospital's anniversary, what are your reflections on the different developments that have happened in that hospital?
You know, one thing good with Whitefield Hospital, we were able to develop from all aspects. So anything that comes out, you know, we don't jump in, because the technology's input is so much that you can always, that's one thing, good and bad. Surgeries don't have to go through any recognized, like a FDA or anything. You conceive of a surgery, you can go ahead and do it. So, but we didn't want to jump into the bandwagon about what people are doing. So when systems get settled, we know that it is a practice that will hold. For example, one example I can give you is minimally invasive surgery. That's what we call as a designer incision, which is very popular in the other countries.
Can you explain that in layman terms?
Layman's term is, instead of opening the breastbone, which we would do, and then put back together for a conventional cardiac surgery, now with technological advancements, we can do with what is called keyhole incisions.
Oh, so instead of cutting open, you just make a small hole.
Yes. But when you put all those holes together, it could be as big as the original. But the main thing here basically is, it's very friendly to the patient, because you're not opening the breastbone. Some of these operations you can do with a small, like a 5 centimeter incision on the left side. Yes. But we didn't want to jump into it because it's a designer incision and things like that. No. It is standardized now. So we are getting all the instruments ready. It's called the minimally invasive surgery. It's not only just for bypass. You can close a hole in the heart. You can repair a valve. So that's where we would go. But at the same time, we don't want to fall back with proven technology. It's a proven surgical procedures. That's prudent to go that direction. And that's how, you know, we're going.
May I ask you, what are your most satisfying moments working in the hospital? Earlier you were used to spend a lot of time in the operation theater. Now you're spending more time in the director's chamber looking after the administration of the hospital. But when you look at both the roles, what are your most satisfying moments then and now?
You know, I was telling yesterday, it's very interesting. When I was doing, which I still have the other hat as the chairman of the cardiac sciences, I had a limited view. I had no clue what was going on. Because I was always interested, this, that's all. Now, with Swami's grace, I could say it's 15 months, I look at the big picture where I sit, I know exactly what goes on in ophthalmology, what goes on in orthopedics, what goes on in cardiac surgery, how to put all these things, you know, together and tell people, listen, I know your problems, but there are problems similar in all the other places also. So when I have a HODs meeting, I can tell them, listen, I'm not interested only in cardiac surgery, I'm interested in all of you. So you be role models. You do this, you do this. For example, NABH. We're doing everything that they want us. Seriously, when the appraisers come and see, but you're not documenting. That's one problem, it's universal. So we have to push them up to come and document. That's all we need to do. Everything else we're doing. The benchmarks we follow, even in the labs. For example, we have a patient care committee that reviews every mortality in the hospital, that any patient-related problem, except if you go to NABH, it's called Continuing Quality Improvement, CQI, and the other is called Medical Audit. So what we have to do is split the patient care committee, make it into CQI, make it into medical audit. But one thing you have to understand is they're recognizing. There's silver lining to all the clouds. I don't know if you remember or not. I'm sure you know better than me. There's a national award for our mobile hospital given the NDTV.
Yes.
So and anybody wants to deliver care to the poor in this country, best example is that mobile hospital. If they can follow that part of it. See, I was talking to a wonderful microbiologist of Indian origin in UK, was knighted by the Queen because he was the first man who pushed hand washing and how it can be implemented almost 5-7 years ago. That's how he was knighted. And he's a Swami's devotee. He wants to come back. The other day I was discussing something. He says, you know, sir, you have the best clinical module anybody can have. I said, what do you mean? Swami has created you a super specialty hospital. Swami has created you a general hospital. Swami has created you a mobile hospital. Any problem you take, you have these three scenarios that you can follow.
Absolutely.
So where else do you have this kind of a thing to do? For example, you want to do an antibiotic exposure, good use or misuse. You have three different clinical settings. That's what we want in this country. You need a super specialty hospital. Yes, you need a general hospital. You need a mobile hospital that can address. If anybody who has any iota of sense will see the vision of Swami and say, this is how you should give medical care to people in this country, I'm free. I believe, but only Swami could do that.
This is phenomenal. You ask any question about healthcare or medical management or patient care, and Swami has set up all the three institutions to give any sort of answer.
Yes, yes. People don't realize this, but that's Swami's vision. You know, you look at it that way. You have three levels of care, and all three are done to the best.
It's really phenomenal when you think about it.
Yeah,
and it is phenomenal from the point of view of patient care as well as from the point of view of research and study.
Yes, absolutely. He told me, sir, you don't need to worry. But nobody else has that kind of a background. Of course, but from his vision.
Can I ask you to narrate one or two interactions that you had with Bhagwan, anything related to the hospital, which you treasure the most?
He taught me how to practice medicine all over. We always never realized till Swami told me basically that your medical care should be divided into three, in the sense it's a three-dimensional approach. Nobody put it me the way. I went to medical school. I had practiced cardiac surgery for almost 30 years in the United States. But when Swami put it this way, that's the most standing example that will go as long as I can remember. See, he said, Bangaru, patient has three problems. You guys take care of only their physical problem. See, you have to address the physical problem. You have to address their mental background of this problem. You also have to address their inner soul. All these three are together. And 99 times of 100 in this world, they take care of the physical problem and send them out. You see, I never looked at it that way. And I tell today, this Swami told me in 1997, when you come to 2005 or 2007, half of the medical schools in the United States now have a course in spirituality and medicine.
Oh, is it?
Yes. Half the medical schools in that. And, you know, many of the multinational companies are spending billions of dollars. For example, Templeton is a very big outfit. They are spending almost like $18-20 million a year to follow this spiritual basis for medical treatment.
So the spiritual well-being of the patient is becoming a part of the health care, health management of the patient.
Absolutely. the way Swami constructed the hospital is that when you walk into the central dome, you know, you look at it. You really look at it. And then you know it's a free hospital. Nobody, however rich he is, that enters into a hospital that's not worried about what is it going to cost him. You can have the best insurance in this world. In the end, you're still going to be stuck with the bill. Never it's 100% free unless you are in Swami's hospitals. So first thing the guy loses, his brain is totally free. He's not going to think about how am I going to pay for it. It's free for him. Everything is free for him. That's how his mind is taken care of. Physically will take care of him. But when he comes in, sees all these people, for them service is their main. And I always tell this as a connecting point, is our sevadals. Mm. 2,000 of them come from all over there. That's where Bangalore hospital is a little different. They have some permanent sevadals that puts it a little bit higher. I'm not saying it's better or anything, a little bit more predictable, and they are there. So when you look at these guys that are doing this for nothing, not even fed. Some of them we feed, but the others they buy their own food. They have their own, we give them basic living accommodation when they're here. And they are doing this not for me, for you, they're doing it for Swami. So when this patient, however sick he is, looks at the sevadal person coming and giving him his tea, or you know, taking him to the bathroom, or wheeling him to the, making sure he is covered, he has a pillow, and take him to the test and something, he doesn't even know this guy. And he knows he's not being paid for it. So if his atma doesn't get, soul doesn't get churned around when he sees this kind of a thing, and forces him to think of himself. That's the whole idea here. Make you think of yourself. That's what Swami's greatest gift to mankind is, to think of yourself. Who you are, what you are, why you are here for.
That is such a profound thing. I think no patient who steps out of this hospital is the same again, not only physically, but also, as you mentioned, mentally as well as spiritually. I think everyone, that's why you see so many patients who want to come back as sevadal, so many patients, they leave their bad habits.
Yes.
And many patients, they want to go and get associated with the organization and do something for someone else. I think
it's a ripple effect. It's basically a ripple effect. You have many, many examples like that. Yeah, basically, very, very ripple
effect. But for you, as you said, this perspective came only after you came to Pakistan.
Yeah, definitely. That's why I have talked about spirituality and medicine all over, pretty much wherever they would listen in the world. Because part of my tours around is to speak about Swami, and part of the times is address people on this spirituality and medicine.
Finally, now that you have had this opportunity to be the director of both the hospitals, and when you go around the hospital or when you have these meetings with all the officials and the staff of the hospital, what are those moments when you really feel that, Swami, thank you so much for giving me this chance to work here?
Oh, every day I feel that. Seriously. Because the cycle is complete. Not only I thank him every day for the opportunity he has given me to serve, but at the same time, he helps me. I know he helps me. Every step he helps me. At the end of the day, I'm relaxed. I said, yes, I have done. You know, I wake up sometime at 3 or 4 in the morning and say, oh my goodness, that... we have to meet that line. It's coming there. It's coming there. Target is there. But it comes out. It comes out. So, you know, talking about just why, but the hospital alone. Yes. Because when Swami made it 23 years ago, it was absolutely perfect. I always tell this. 70% of medicine we practice today, we learned in the last 30 years. No question about it. So, he made it perfect. But now it's 23 years, so we had to change. So, he gave us we shifted the library to a beautiful 6,000 square foot. We have a brand new lab, which is 7,000 square foot. We have an updated, absolutely up-to-date MRI and, blood bank. So, it's several crores we have spent in the last 12 months. Same thing happened in Whitefield, whether you talk about a new MRI, whether you talk about what we talked, the biplane cath lab. It doesn't come. They're all, we're looking at 8-7 crores, each one of them is.
Yes.
And it's free, totally free.
Yes. And as you said, you feel his presence every day.
Oh, absolutely, no question about it. Because, no, you see, some of the problems that are thrown at me, oh, very severe, very serious, very serious. At a human level, I know my capacity is limited. Beyond that, it's difficult. But then they happen. They happen. Like all these projects happening in time. People that I have no clue are coming and helping me do these things.
So when Bhagwan was physically there, he was the man in charge, taking all the decisions. But even now, it is happening.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. You can call me. I'm more convinced about his, divinity or whatever you want to call that aspect of it now than when I was with him and he was around. Maybe that is the yoga maya. That's all. You know, we have to come out of it and see what.
I think his omnipresence is perhaps more palpably felt now.
Definitely.
Than when you felt his omnipresence with him. In this physical presence.
Yes.
Wonderful. And that is the reason why I think the hospitals and everything else is going as
well. If I mention one thing, what I feel is our mantra is to be continuity.
Yes.
Continuity. Mahasamadhi is here, no question. Swami Spirit is here. But that is for us to discuss and swallow or whatever we accept. But our aim still is we must do whatever we can with our capacity, continue what he started, showing that Swami's vision is still alive.
Yes.
See, the difference that makes is, this is what somebody explained, another holy person was telling, why hospital stands out now, because there is life. There is life.
Yes, absolutely. And the source of that life and energy is Bhagwan.
It's all Bhagwan.
Thank you very much.
Jai Sai Ram. Thank you. Thank you.
So that was Dr. Valeti Chaudhary, the chairman of cardiac sciences of both the hospitals in Puttaparthi and Whitefield, sharing his reminiscences and reflections principally about the hospitals and commemoration of the 13th anniversary of the super speciality hospital in Bangalore. And from Dr. Chaudhary, now let us move on and listen to a former student of Bhagwan's university who now is an employee who's been working in the hospital in Bangalore since the inception of this institution in 2001, Mr. Satish Chandra. And I'm playing for you this conversation with Mr. Satish Chandra because of a very, very special reason. And you will hear that as I begin, because there's a long introduction, so let me not take more time and let's move on and listen to this conversation. Saram, dear listeners, and welcome to this special conversation with Brother Satish Chandra. Satish Chandra is a former student of Baba's University. He graduated with his Bachelor's in Sciences from Nagarjuna University in Andhra Pradesh, in the city of Vijayawada, and he joined Sri Satisai Institute of Higher Learning in 1998 for his Master's in Business Administration. Once he completed this course at Bhagwan's Lotus Feet, Swami blessed him with the opportunity to work in his hospital in Whitefield in Bangalore. So he has been now serving as Senior Manager, Central Stores in Sri Satisai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences, Whitefield. It's been more than 12 years now that he is engaged in Bhagwan's healthcare mission. And Satish is really a very interesting personality because apart from his commitment to Bhagwan's mission and dedicating his life to the Sai healthcare mission, serving in Baba's hospital in Bangalore, he is someone who has many other interesting hobbies and interests. And he has been using, more importantly, these hobbies and interests, these energies and talents now for Bhagwan's mission. Playing guitar, carpentry, astronomy, gardening, these are some of his interests. But there is another hobby of his which has really taken him on long adventures, and that is cycling. Yes, he's done marathon cycling, not once or twice, but number of times over these years, and every time it is at least 300 to 400 kilometers continuously. And very recently, in fact, during Bhagwan's birthday this year, November 2013, he set off on another such adventure, now to the state of Kerala. And where in Kerala? To the houses of patients treated in Bhagwan's hospital. Yes, that is exactly what he did. He cycled more than 450 kilometers continuously In rural Kerala, largely in the villages of Kerala, enjoying on one hand the beautiful landscape of Kerala, but delighting more in the beautiful smiles and joy of all the simple folk from these rural hamlets of Kerala who are so devoted and immensely grateful to Bhagwan and his hospital for the huge difference the hospital has made in their lives. Of course, apart from interacting with the patients, he also had the chance to interact with many other Sai devotees and so many silent workers of the Satya Sai organization and the larger mission of Bhagwan. And each moment for him has been very special. It is 450 kilometers spread over 10 days from the north of Kerala to the south of Kerala, from Kasaragod to Kanyakumari, and filled with moments of thrill, moments of ecstasy, moments of immense fulfillment, and moments of deep reflection and introspection. And when I came to know about this adventure, I just thought this is something that we all will benefit from, because he had the chance to go to the houses of patients in the state of Kerala and interact with them, see them, how they are in their environments and how they are feeling what the hospital has done to them and how they are experiencing Bhagwan's love even now. So with great joy, I welcome you, Brother Satish Chandra, to the studios of Radio Sai.
Thank you, Prusti.
So let's start with where it all began. Why Kerala and why to the houses of patients? How did this idea come about?
Okay, it's a long story, but to keep it short, I love cycling, and like you had mentioned, and every year I used to, during the winter time, make time for doing one bike trip to either to some temples or some place for a week or so. And I've not done it for the past 4 to 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere deep inside I felt, you know, I was missing out on that, the joy of just cycling.
And this has been there for very long with you, this adventure of getting the bike.
Yeah. It's been there right from my college days in my hometown. And after I joined the hospital also, I've been on and off, going off on these bike rides. But this time it was like more prominent, in the sense the gap was very long. But I wanted to do it differently this time. So this is one aspect. So I have not done a cycling trip for a long time.
Yes.
The other aspect.
Before you move on, sorry to interrupt you, but I just cannot resist myself asking this question. I know there are so many things about cycling that fascinate you. That's why you're so passionate about it. But can you just pick up one thing about cycling that you hold closest to your heart? What is it that excites you about cycling the most?
The most, I think it's the freedom.
Freedom?
The freedom. And imagine if you were to travel by car or by any other means, there's so many things you need to arrange. Right? You have to fill up the fuel, you have to do this, you have to ensure a lot of things are in place. Whereas with the bike, it's so simple. You just get on the bike and ride.
Yes.
And also the fact that you are doing it, you know, on your own steam.
Yes.
Dependent on anything else.
You're burning your own calories.
You're burning your own calories. But overall, the sense of freedom and the ability to, you know, move at a fairly quick pace.
Yes.
Meet people.
Yes.
And to me, travel also, you know, it's a great way of clearing up your head.
Yes.
And dissolving all your prejudices, biases. And
exactly.
And when you come back with a fresh perspective each
absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you're inside a car or inside a bus, you know, you're boxed.
Exactly.
You're cutting off some part of nature. But I think when you mentioned freedom, that's what occurred to me. Freedom is, you're just more one with nature. And bike gives you that speed also, compared with walking or jogging. Fantastic. So please go on. So, yeah, you decided definitely it is going to be a bike tour.
Right.
As always. But now, why Kerala and why to the houses of patients? How did this idea come about?
So the other aspect, what struck me was, I've been working for 12 years in a hospital and never really got a chance to interact with a patient.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm buried in the basement. I work as a, you know, in the central stores as a purchase manager. And I just figured yesterday that, you know, my life is restricted by almost like 9 columns. 9 columns in a comparison statement. So you have a serial number, then you have an item description, you have a quantity, and then you have the comparison statement you make for different vendors, you know, what are the rates they're quoting at and stuff like that.
Exactly.
So it is all very constrained in that sense.
Yes.
And most of my time goes in talking about what somebody else wants. I mean, all these are pertaining to the hospital, pertaining to healthcare, but there's a feeling in me that I don't get the experience of actually meeting patients or interacting with them, seeing the smiles on their faces. So that was something which I've been thinking about. Of course, thanks to the newsletter work I do for the hospital, I do get to interact with patients, but on and off. But I want to take that to another level where I really get to see them, how they are doing at their own homes.
Yes.
And so at that time also I came to know about this, the Sai Rehab program, which is running very well in Kerala.
Maybe you can just tell our listeners very briefly about what the Sai Rehab program is all about.
The Sai Rehab program is a very unique program which the hospitals run by Swami's Central Trust have, wherein there is a continuity of care maintained. The hospital does the surgery, and after that the patient is actually handed over to a doctor in his own district, the patient's his or her own district in his or her state. So periodically the patient goes to the doctor and then he consults with him. So for the amount of work which the hospital does, it is not possible for the hospital to take care of each and every patient post-operatively.
Correct.
So through this program, the local doctors, who are all devotees of Swami, so they take the responsibility of ensuring that this patient is doing well.
So it's as if once the patient has stepped out of the hospital, he's not forgotten. The care is continuous.
Exactly. See, in a private hospital, once your bills are cleared, the doors just, slam on the patient's face. Here, you're getting this entire treatment completely free. And also, there is a follow-up.
Yes.
On how he's doing. Because some of the heart surgeries which are done, they require continued follow-up to see that his medications are under control and within certain limits. So this is what is accomplished by this, the Sai Rehab program. So I kind of put this, my desire to interact with patients, the Sai Rehab program, and my love for cycling. So all these kind of got mixed together in this melting pot, and out came this project.
Wonderful. Fantastic. So when that idea came, was it a very exciting moment?
It was. It was very exciting, though I didn't really know.
Because you were thinking, yeah, I must do one bike ride. I've not done for long. And suddenly you think what to do. And then suddenly all these things fall in place. And perhaps when you look at it, was it a wow feeling?
It was. It was absolutely a wow feeling. And I think I couldn't kind of contain myself. I knew that this idea had a lot of potential.
Yes.
And I wasn't very sure at that time whether this is the idea whose time has come.
Mm.
Looking back after the trip, I mean, that was a very, it's all, I think, goes back to Swami and his inspiration, guidance, that I guess a lot of things had to fall in place for this to happen. So soon after that, and when I shared this with people at the hospital, including the directors, and they were very supportive of this trip. And since I had some background, I was not doing this for the first time, so my own confidence in my ability to do this were all kind of addressed.
Yeah. Everyone knows that you can do it because you have done it so many times.
That's right, yeah. So then what happened was when I discussed it with the directors, then they put me in touch with ultimately the Satyasai organization in Kerala, and Mukundan sir,
the state president.
The state president for the Kerala state. He actually took a lot of interest, and I mean, he immediately got what I was trying to accomplish. So he made all the arrangements, and that was without the support of the Satyasai organization, Kerala, and specifically Mukundan sir and all the other people involved with the Sai Rehab program, this trip wouldn't have happened. So that was something, the way it all turned out was really beautiful. Mm. Yeah.
And once the idea came and you are perhaps thanking Swami within for that inspiration, and slowly so many dots started connecting, right?
Absolutely.
And I think you are perhaps every day surprised with what was coming your way once you started the journey.
Correct. Absolutely. And there were so many things, people I didn't know came into my life offering to give me some bicycling gear.
Oh.
And like that. And the guy who services my bike, he said, oh, if this is the intention with which you're doing your trip, I will spend extra time and effort to kind of see, ensure that your bike is in proper shape.
Wow.
So, little thing, because there, somehow that idea of just checking on the patients on how they're doing, that had such a sense of, I don't know what to call it, but...
I think it had a very positive cascading effect.
Effect on everyone, everyone around, and everybody was able to relate to what the hospital was doing through this endeavor. And so that's how the whole program started. So Mukundan sir had made out, he actually had a meeting with all the district presidents and told them about this trip and organized some programs. So they organized the house visits to the houses of these patients. So that's how it all began.
Wonderful. I mean, it just goes to show that whenever someone has a very selfless, genuine, pure thought, and if it is a project which has no tinge of selfishness in it and is done only for the Lord, for the Lord's mission, you find that so many people want to be part of it in some way, in their own silent way. Just like that person who gave you some gears for your cycle, someone who repaired your cycle, they thought, okay, this guy is going on such a wonderful mission, let us do our part. And perhaps you would have experienced more of this in your trip, where people sharing so much joy as you visit every village, as you visit every patient, and as you meet every Sai worker, you know, they are so happy that here is someone who is trying to do something wonderful. So when did it all start?
It started on 21st night.
21st November.
21st November. My trip started from Kasaragod. So I actually took a bus with the bike to Kasaragod. And
that is in the north of Kerala.
That is in the north of Kerala. That's the northernmost district, and it shares a border with Karnataka. And so you actually hear people talking Kannada and Malayalam too. So that was, and also another factor why I kind of choose to do it that way was, see, there are about 300 patients in Kerala treated by the Swami's hospitals. 3,000.
Both the hospitals, both the super specialities.
Yeah. And cardiac patients alone.
Okay.
So this Sai Rehab program also covers only the cardiac patients.
Okay.
And 90% of 3,000 people are all concentrated in the northern part of Kerala.
Okay.
So I thought it's good to kind of do it from...
So which are these districts?
So they are the Kasaragod, the Kannur, Malappuram. These are the main districts. I think Malappuram has the maximum number of patients.
Okay. So these three northern districts is where you have more number of patients from Kerala.
Right. So it started from there. And so in Kasaragod, I had gone to the Samiti, and where the patients were called, where they had assembled there. Because the thing was, there were two ways in which the program happened.
So you took the bus on 21st night, you said?
Right. So 22nd morning.
So 22nd morning, you were in
Kasaragod.
So you spent the morning with the devotees, and you said this group of patients. In a Kasaragod Sai Samiti.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. The way the program happened was two different structures we had. One was where the patients come to the one of the samitis, where I could meet them as a group. And another was when I visited door to door, house to house of the patients. Because the patients visiting the samitis is also a program which happens. That's the Hriday Sangamam, which happens once in 6 months in each of these districts.
The Satyasai organization is part of that Sai Rehab program.
They call
all the patients.
They call all the patients, and that's when the doctors also are there, and they conduct a medical camp, a free medical camp for all these patients.
Perhaps they must be also using these opportunities to educate them about looking after their heart.
Absolutely.
I believe after every heart surgery, the patient has to be careful about many things.
Yeah, about the lifestyle changes they need to have. Okay. Yeah, so all that is covered. So it's a mix of both certain aspects of preventive healthcare, and patients get an opportunity to talk about their experiences.
Yes.
And one of the very amazing things I found was that many of the patients have now turned into very active SAI workers.
Oh, okay. They've become volunteers.
They've become volunteers.
Wonderful.
And including one of the girls whom I met, she's now a Balvikas guru.
Okay.
So many such stories like that. But so on Kasaragod...
So there's been a transforming effect.
Absolutely.
Not just they are in better health, but there's been a lot of changes in the way they approach to life, in the way they think about their lives.
Right. Right.
Wonderful. Yeah, so 22nd morning you spent with this group of patients in Kasaragod.
Correct. On the same day, as per the schedule, I was to reach Kannur, which is the next district.
Yes.
So that day too, because this program got over almost around 1 o'clock, and the Kannur program was to start at 4. I was to visit some patient homes, and I was to be there by about 4 or so. So there was not much time to ride the 100 kilometers between Kasaragod to Kannur.
How much time would you take approximately for 100 kilometers?
See, I do an average of about 20 kilometers per hour.
Per hour.
So I would take at least 5 hours, and generally, I mean, if you're traveling with your complete gear, all your luggage and stuff, it would take about 6 to 7 hours.
Okay.
I would take that much time.
For 100 kilometers.
Yeah. So, and since I had to do not just the cycling, but also interact with the patients.
Yes. They had gathered there and all.
Right. So I didn't want to keep them waiting. So I took the train on that day. So essentially the first day I landed, I didn't actually do any cycling. So I was a little, you know, getting a little worried about this thing. I said I wanted to do cycling, and then here I'm like put my bike in a bus and then now in a train, and I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
It is becoming more of meeting patients and...
Exactly, yeah.
Well, that is nice, but cycling is what also gives you so much joy.
Correct. Know? So anyway, I reached Kannur, and that evening I happened to visit the homes of two patients. One is working as an auto driver, another one as a radio mechanic. And it was very heartwarming to see the kind of the hospitality we received. I mean, they were not people of great means, very simple people, but the way they received us with so much love and a gleam in their eyes, it spoke so much about the respect they had for the institution and also the love they had for Swami. So that was what I really got from meeting with these patients. And the thing is, I can't speak Malayalam, neither can I understand, but in one sense, language was not a barrier, because I just needed to watch them, their eyes, and that spoke millions of words about how they felt the treatment was at the hospital. At these patient houses, I was carrying a video camera with me, and I used to record their impressions about the hospital and how they are doing now, and where it was possible, I used to take them doing what they normally do.
Yes.
Going about their daily work. So that's what happened in Kannur. And this was 22nd evening. Next day was Swami's birthday. And so that's when the cycling part of it actually started.
And wonderful.
At last. So I think probably it was meant to begin on Swami's birthday. So that's how I take it. Of course, it had its own challenges, thanks to the affection of all the Sai volunteers there. Because one of them said, no, Kerala is not at all safe for cycles, and we won't allow you. You keep the cycle here. And I was like, heart was in my mouth. I said, look, I came all the way to cycle first. That was my first priority. And now this is like completely taking a backseat.
No, they are just so happy that someone has come from Puttaparthi to see them.
Right. True. But I was like, no, please don't do this to me. And this was where I think Mukundan sir had really come to my rescue, because he had very thoughtfully arranged for escorts to accompany me on this bike ride.
Oh, that's a very nice gesture.
Yeah, and to me, it's a lot of, it's being pampered a lot because nowhere else have I done this kind of escorted cycling. But it was good in two ways. One was, yeah, since you had someone at the rear or the front somewhere, you're not getting lost. You always have someone, so you know which direction to ride in. Second thing is also they do act as a insulation between you and the bigger vehicles.
Yes.
So that way it, for these two reasons, it was a safe thing.
It's always
a
very comforting feeling.
That's right. Yeah.
Yes. There is someone.
Correct. And so the how that used to work was that the Sai workers used to literally, you know, pick me up from the border of one district and then hand me over to the Sevadal, the volunteers waiting at the border of the next district. So that's how the thing used to work. On 23rd morning, I left Kannur. I started from Kannur and then rode about 25 kilometers to a place called Talasseri. And where there is again the Sathya Sai Samiti, and there also there were a few patients assembled there. And this was something which blew me off completely because this patient was operated in the Parthi Super Hospital way back in 1994. It's 3 years after the first super specialty hospital started. He's that old a patient. And he is doing very well. And he is being regularly seen at the programs, the medical camps conducted by the Sathya Sai Seva organization and part of the Sai Rehab program. Not then, but later on it just occurred to me which organization in the world could kind of have such a long follow-up program where a patient who's operated 20 years back can still come back to these doctors and have the benefit of their consultations.
Even after 20 years, you have doctors connected with that hospital, connected with Swami's healthcare mission, coming and asking you, how are you? Is everything fine?
Right.
I think...
Correct.
That is something which is really very...
True, and that particular aspect was really what I think both the volunteers and the patients, I could sense that someone coming from the hospital and inquiring about their well-being, that was very well received. And I think earlier, I'm sure Swami had his own ways of reaching out to these patients. But here, it was I consider it as a privilege, that an honor that I had.
Yes.
Representing the hospital. And at all these places where I was meeting patients in a group, I had only one message to convey, which is that I am here on behalf of the directors, the doctors, surgeons and nurses and all the staff of the hospital. And we are here, we are praying for their health and well-being and that our prayers are always with them. So that was my message to all these patients. So to be in that place, you know, from my daily dealing with purchase orders to a place where I actually go, you know, I happen to tell a patient, look, we are there for you.
Yes.
I think that was something which I felt really happy doing.
Yes.
And it was a very mutual experience for the patients too, that someone has come from the hospital and that the hospital cares for them. I think that was something which was conveyed to these patients.
And so you were talking about the patient in Talasseri.
This patient is in some private...
So dear listeners, that was Satish Chandra. I hope you enjoyed this first part of this conversation with him. It is definitely a beautiful endeavor of circulating this joy of service through cycling. Satish Chandra is someone who has always done things differently, and here was a very noble endeavor. And it is so beautiful when you see how Bhagwan is inspiring so many, all only to spread that message of selfless service, that message of creating a space within each one of us where we feel that we are not just separate beings on this planet, we are so connected with each other in
each of us, there is a part of the other. And that is why we must feel for the other. Just like Bhagwan used to. That is the greatness of living with the Divine Master. Everything that Bhagwan asked us to do, he lived in his life. And that is why his influence is so powerful. And that is why even if you have seen him once, even if you have interacted with him once, it has transformed you. It has changed you in a manner that is simply out of this world. So dear listeners, as we come on to this part of the year, after Pongal, after Makar Sankranti, this is the time of Uttarayana, as they say, the journey, the northward journey of the sun. Let us also take this opportunity to make that northward journey in our spiritual pursuit. Let us take that step so that we move northwards towards our spiritual goal. And why should we do it? We should do it because only then our soul will find peace. Only then can we live in the bliss that Bhagwan is. As Bhagwan always said, B-A-B-A, Baba is being, awareness, bliss, Atman. We can be in that bliss. And Bhagwan wanted us to be in that. Bhagwan exhorted us to be in that bliss. And we can be in that bliss only when we determine to move on that path. So let us make that effort on this beautiful occasion of Uttarayana. And let us do everything in our capacity to spread the fragrance of selfless service and universal love to as many as people we can. That would be our service. That would be our contribution to Bhagwan's mission. So with this, it's time to draw the curtains on this day-long Thursday live programs from the studios of Radio Sai. Thank you so much for being with us. If you have any queries or comments, feel free to write to listener@radiosai.org. If you want to listen to any of the programs, you can go to our website. Probably by tomorrow or day after, you can download all the programs that we had today during this entire Thursday Live segment. You can also access our Thursday Live archives from our website and download and listen to any of the programs that appeals to you. Keep listening. Keep sharing and let us together strive to become little lamps, little instruments in His divine hands and thereby find fulfillment in our lives. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and as I sign off, a loving good night. And a sweet Sai Ram from all of us at Radio Sai. And as I quit, you will continue to listen to a drama presented by the devotees from the United States on 30th July 2009. It is entitled United Sai America. This was presented to Bhagwan in 2009. So you will continue to listen to this. Thank you so much. And Sai Ram.